is one of those parashiyos that if it's learned like a child, like it's taught when a person's a child, it's very much like Sefer Bereishis, where you're left with very, very childish appreciation of the parasha, and the depth doesn't really give its fullest understanding of what's going on here. Korach was not some wild rebel. Korach was a highly sophisticated Talmud Chochem, a person who knew how to tap into the wishes and needs of Klal Yisrael within Ruchnius. He knew how to take the weaknesses of aspirations for Ruchnius in a way that's going to be unreasonable. And he ended up, like all people who are running after Kovod, or Kinna Vataiva, Kovod Sinus Odom Min Al Ilom, Korach was a Talmud Chochem who could have been a Gadol. He was one of the wealthiest people Klal Yisrael ever knew, but he needed more. This week's parasha, we're not going to be going into exactly the Chet of Korach, the Korach of Machlekes. I think we did this in other years. There's just one particular point of this week's parasha that's bothered me year after year after year, and this year I decided once and for all to tackle this particular point. And with tremendous help of Dishma, I came up with a few chedushim, and Be'ez Hashem, I think it will be a key to not only understanding this parasha, but understanding ourselves and understanding Shalom Bayis, relationships with parents, with family, with friends, with society, and Be'ez Hashem, we'll be able to learn very, very important messages. Parshas Korach begins with Korach starting a revolution, and big things happen. Big things happen. We have 250 people, Kodesh Baruch Hu, through the challenge of Moshe Rabbeinu, through the Machtos, they died. They were killed by Shemayim. They were killed through Shemayim. People saw that. People saw Nes Golu. They saw that when you play with Russian roulette, with Moshe Rabbeinu, with Keteres, that's it. They got wiped out. Nes number one. Nes number two, they saw something they've never ever seen before. There was never a reality of that reality in the world. It's the first time ever there was an earthquake. And not only were these people killed, who are just those people who were involved in the earthquake, and the people who were involved in Machlekes, any item that belonged to them was swallowed into that pit. A person lent a pencil to one of the family of Korach, lent a pencil to somebody else. That pencil flew out the person's pocket and went into this pit. Nissen Gluim. Unbelievable Nissen. After that, Klal Yisrael have a Magefa. Klal Yisrael speak against Moshe Rabbeinu, and they say, you know, you caused us all this strife, all these problems. Fine, a Magefa starts. And there's an epidemic going through. Aaron HaKohen takes the Keteres, stands there, and he stops Magefa. Another Ness. And you have, again, we're dealing here with phenomenal, natural inconsistencies. We have Nissim happening again and again and again. And Klal Yisrael just do not seem to have got the idea. At the end of the parasha, toward the end of the parasha, we have a very seemingly insignificant Nes, and the Pasuk says, when the Nes finished, the Pasuk says, "Utechal tul noisem mo'olai v'lo yemusu," and it stopped any time that Klal Yisrael had. What was this? This is a parasha dealing in Perek Yedzayin. The Pasuk is in the Pasuk Chof Hei. The parasha is dealing with the Matos. V'dabar Hashem Moshe Leimo, Perek Yedzayin, Pasuk Yedzayin. Dabar b'nei Yisrael v'kach mi'itom mate lebeis av, me'it kol nisi'ehim lebeis avoisom, shleim osa Matos, isha shmoy tichle v'mateyu. Everyone is commanded to take a stick, taken from the same piece of wood, cut up into 12 pieces, a final nasha is one tribe, Levi is another tribe, etc. Each one written a name on it, and take it and put it into the oil moyed. Fine. He put in the oil moyed lifnei edus, for hoya ish asher evcha boi mateyu, yifroch, the one who was chosen by Kodesh Baruch Hu, his stick will flower. And therefore, v'ashikoisim olai esluim lifnei yishar asherim alin aleichem. And the complaints will stop. And Moshe put the matzot in front of Kodesh Baruch Hu on Oil Moed. Next morning, the other Moshe oil ha'idus. V'hinei porach mate Aaron the Beis Levi. Aaron's mate blossomed. V'yotzei perach, v'yotzei tzitz v'igmol shkedim. It flowered, it gave out tzitz, it gave out leaves and sprouts, which were leaves really, and v'yigmol shkedim, and it gave out almonds. V'yotzei Moshe kol ha'mate tzim lifnei Hashem kol b'nei Yisrael v'yir v'ikh ishmate ishman tuk l'mate. Wow! You know, a stick blossomed. Unbelievable. You know, if you go to a flower store and you have this dry stick and it blossoms the next day, you think there's a bit of moisture in the air. Wow, and it's just so insignificant compared to an earthquake, compared to Kodesh Baruch Hu zapping them from Shemayim, 250 people die. Suddenly this, so the next Pasuk, oh, Hoshem Mata Arif Ne'er Edus Mishmeres Oesu B'Meis Meri, take the stick. Unbelievable miracle. With the chalts and leisim olav leimusu, nobody else will die. They'll stop the machlekes. V'yas Moshe Cain, kasev Hashem oisei Cain. Also, he did this. Fine. End of the pasuk. What's amazing about this whole thing? Number one. Number two. We discussed this last year, but I don't think many of you got pshat. What was the idea why Klal Yisrael actually took back their matzos? Aaron HaKohen took back his matzah. Why? Very simply because he won, and therefore Kohuna won. And if it's in Kohuna 1, you've got to prove for future generations that it's not people who are challenging Kohuna to see. They stick the Kohuna 1. This stick, by the way, was hidden inside, was buried together with the oring, and it still got the flowers on it. Okay, Nesh, it won. But why did they take back their empty sticks? What's the point of that? So I focused on a very, very fascinating halacha. It's a Mishnah in Maestras. There's a whole halacha, there's Gemara in Brachas, there's a halacha in Shulchan Aruch. There's very, very fascinating elements with something that is negea to this stick. And I believe very much that because the uniqueness and the limudim that's learnt from this stick, this is not anymore just merely a factual miracle to prove who was Bnei Aaron, but it was limudim, five limudim, that are practical ideas of how to strengthen Klal Yisrael not to be involved in Machlekes again, ever again. In other words, these Nisim proved a point. The fact that 250 people died proved a point. The fact that there was an earthquake proved a point. The fact that there was a Magefa proved a point. They can prove points again and again, but Klal Yisrael still need Limudim, Tachlis, Lemaisa. How do we get out of this? How do we make sure this never happens again? How do we make sure we don't fall into the same trap? That was a matos. The matos showed them how not to fall into the same trap. How? So firstly, I think I said this over last year, but it's a beautiful, beautiful vort. There's a Mishnah in Maestros, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Dalet. The halacha is that you only take Maestros from something when it becomes Roi L'Achila. So the Mishnah there, various different Mishnahs dealing with when certain things come Roi L'Achila. The Mishnah says over there, Hachayiv b'shkedim hamorim potter b'mesukim. Those ones that are chayiv of shkedim b'hamorim potter b'mesukim. Hachayiv b'mesukim potter b'morim. What's pshat? There are two different kinds of almonds. There are bitter almonds and there are sweet almonds. I said this last year, but it fits in. It's a very, very powerful vote. The bitter almonds and the sweet almonds. What happens is, the bitter almonds are only edible when they're small. And therefore, the Mishnah, when do you take Maisa from them? Only when they're small. When they get big, you don't take Maisa from them anymore. So, that's the Mishnah saying, Hachayiv v'shkedim hamorim, the chiv, the time, the stage that you chayiv for the small shkedim hamorim, i.e. when they're very small, at that stage, potter b'masukim is still potter. At that stage, you're potter from taking maisa from the sweet ones, because the sweet ones, you've got to wait until they get bigger. The sweet ones are not really achila at the beginning, you've got to wait until they get bigger. But the big ones, the bitter ones, you've got to only take maisa from at the beginning, not till, wait till later. And therefore, the early stage where you take maisa from, the bitter ones, are no good to take maisa from, the sweet ones. Hachai b'masukim, but the time that you take maisa from, the sweet ones, i.e. when they're developed, so the Mishnah, potter b'morim, they're potter that stage of taking maisa from the bitter ones, because they're not any more roi l'achila. That's a Mishnah. Now, basically, here, it was no accident that Shkenim came out. What's the idea of Shkenim? Shkenim is this Mishnah. Says one of the Balei Musa. It was my vote, and Baruch Shem found it later on. What is that? This. How does the argument start? How's the argument start? An argument starts when a person says something that's offensive to you. Not so much when you start an argument. Most people don't start arguments. The other side always starts an argument, right? And therefore, you react. Without acting, you react. You react. Now, when you react, the first stage of reaction is very, very geschmack. You tell the person exactly where he's coming from, who his mother is, how dare he speak to you like that, and you really put him in his place. It's very, very geschmack. And you know, you really feel better. But then he says he reacts, and you react to what he said. And before you know it, Rahman and Litzlan, from a very sweet, smiling, happy couple, you end up in a divorce. There was a certain stage in time that many, many marriages fell apart, poshut, because there's an action and a reaction. And a reaction to a reaction, and a reaction to a reaction to a reaction. Until the thing just spiraled out of control. He stormed out the house, she changed her locks, he moved out, she moved out. Divorce, and this sweet, smiling couple standing under the chuppah a couple of years beforehand, 5, 10, 20, 30 years beforehand, before they're going to always be happy together, poshut, by acting and reacting, things fell apart. At the first stage, though, how dare her? How dare she say such a thing? And he reacts. It's very geschmack. What happens in the end? It turns bitter. The first idea is, the certain elements, that you get, that argument is like a shkedin. It starts off very sweet, but the more it develops, it turns bitter. There's the one kind of almonds. It starts off sweet, but as it gets bigger, as it develops, and develops more and more, it turns bitter. That's one kind of almond. That's one kind of side of an argument. On the other hand, though, if an argument has really gone to levels where it's difficult to control anymore, there's two options. One option is just to allow the argument to continue the way it is and break away from that relationship. Or the more difficult option is to go along and say, I apologize. I was out of line. I should never have done what I did. Even if you're right. But you stand and say, I apologize. I should not have done this. I should not have said what I said. I offended you. I didn't mean to offend you. I love you very much. I'm very sorry. Very, very hard words to say. I am sorry. Very, very hard. Avigdor Miller says, if you had a big bust-up with your wife, and there's plates flying, and you're on the way to the airport to run away, that's it. You're leaving town. Go on the way. That's before you get to the airport. Stop off at a diamond store. Buy her a diamond. Take it back home. She'll take it back. So before you leave the marriage, guy, buy her the diamond. She'll accept it. She'll take it back. Now, when you knock and you've got your tail between your legs, and you say, I'm sorry, darling. Is that easy or hard? Very, very difficult. But what happens then? Things turn sweeter. So here you have the other diamond. Yeah, here you have the other almond. Here you have the almonds that start off bitter, but as they develop, it gets sweeter and sweeter. So the almonds is showing us this lesson. And you have two different kinds of almonds. Almonds that start off bitter, that turn sweet. That's shalom. And the machwekas starts off sweet and turns bitter. And that's why Dafka we had almonds to express this idea over here in this Mishnah. Know every time you have an argument. Know things can develop. Rav Avigdor Miller says a story of one boy who took over a group of kids, Pirchim kids, on an outing, on a trip. And a few Scotsim said something about some derogatory comment about the beanies, about the couple. So the boy backed it to them. You know, don't speak to my boys like that. And they said, you know, why not? Dirty Jew. So do you call me a dirty Jew? You dirty thing. And then he felt challenged. He felt like he's being, you know, things are getting a bit out of control. So he pulled out a flick knife. The boy pulled out a flick knife. This Jewish boy pulled out a flick knife. They went back to the car, and they pulled out a hammer. And they beat him to death. And when they were taken to court, the court says the court is no place for revenge. This was a case of self-defense, elements of self-defense over here, and therefore these boys got 1 year of probation. We come in once a month and say, hello, Bob, hello, and out you go, you sign your name, and off you go. this wasn't necessary. This wasn't necessary. No, it sounded very good to look at the big guy in front of the kids, but this guy is buried 70 years too early. This is the idea. Always look, appreciate that a machlokes starts off sweet, but it ends off bitter. You never know where it's going to end. That's the first lesson of Shkedim. That's the first lesson Kaisel had to see of Shkedim. That's within Hilchus Maestros. Within Hilchus Brochus is another halacha. And I don't know, I'd be happy to hear, I don't know if there's any other halacha that is quite as complicated as Hilchus Almonds in Hilchus Brochus. The halacha says that this. It's a halacha in Simon Reish Beis. In Reish Dalet Sif Aleph. Al Shkedim Mesukim Sha'ochim Ois Mekishahim Rakim Beklifehem Vavorchim Shehakol. On sweet almonds, they eat inside the pit, inside the klipah, inside the skin. You make a shahakal on them. In other words, the shkedim, the certain almonds, they eat while they're in the pit, in the shell. And if you're eating in the outer shell, if you eat them at that stage in the outer shell, you make a shahakal. They have probably a green outer shell. No, they're underdeveloped. They're not developed. I don't know which one. The second one, I don't know which one it is, but yes, an outer shell, the halacha is, since they have not developed to where they should be, you make a shahakal on them. Okay, that's stage number one. Stage number two is, once they develop into proper almonds, then you make a hait, like a regular almond. Okay, that's our halacha in Reish Dalud. In Reish Beis Sif Hei says that this, al shkedim hamorim kushahim katanim voyach boyah pri hait. On the small shkedim that are bitter, you make a boyer pri ha'etz. Kushahim gedolim, when they get big, v'loikum make no bracha at all. The azukim mazki, because they injure you. In other words, there's four different types of shkedim. There's shkedim that are very small, they're inside, they peel, you make a shahakal. You wait a little bit longer, you make a ha'etz. That's by sweet ones. By bitter shkedim, the halacha is, when they're small, you make a ha'etz. I'm sorry?
When they're not in the shell.
Not in the shell. Talking about the regular ones, not in the shell, they make a ha'etz.
It's the same
thing. No, it's different halacha. Number one is, when in the shell, you make a shahakal. Small ones, the sweet ones. When in the shell, you make a shahakal. When they get bigger, the sweet ones, you make a ha'etz. But on shkedim, morim, on the bitter ones, when they are small, not in the shell, when they're small, you make a ha'etz later on. You make no bracha at all. Why? So the halacha of the azukim maske, because that damages you. What's that teaching us? Shkedim, I don't believe any other fruit in a halacha has four different stages of four different kinds of halachas within that particular fruit. You get cooked, you get not cooked. Four different stages, what's the idea of shkedim? Again, the matter is a matter of shkedim. What's the shkedim? Apidrush, you can say that this. There's certain times, but with an argument, you've got to let things wait. You've got to let things wait. You've got to let things cool down a bit. In other words, if you start off and eat them when they're small, it's edible. Hey, you can deal with it. It's a shahakal. That's not the chatchila bracha. Wait a bit. Wait a bit, you get to the chatchila bracha, you get her eat. Certain times, you want to react to something, sleep on it. Mochor. We discuss that. Mochor. Next day, phone them up. You want to send a letter, send them a letter. Put it in, you know, with an envelope on, a really nice letter. Don't post it till the next day. An email? Yeah? Fine. Don't press the word send until the next morning. Let it develop. You know what will happen? Things will get better. It turns from a shahakal into a ha'etz. Things will get better. On the other hand, though, if you're seeing a machlekes, it's spiraling out of control, then you've got to start eating. The ha'etz is only at the beginning. As it develops more and more, it turns into an inedible, and it's azuki maske, it injures you. And therefore, certain machlekes, if it's getting worse and worse, don't wait. Stop it immediately. Phone up and say, I apologize. If the person is so hurt that if such a thing is not going to stop, is going to spiral out of control, immediately do something about it. Because if you wait any longer, azukim maske, it's going to actually become inedible. It's going to become not roi l'achila. You can't even make a brach on it at all. That is the lesson of shkedim. The shkedim of that grew on a matter telling us, don't be a nut. Don't be silly. Think about what's going on. Firstly, appreciate that shalom is difficult at the beginning, but it turns sweet later. Machlokes is sweet at the beginning and turns bitter later. Secondly, you have to know that at certain times in a fight where it requires us to stall and certain times you've got to actually stand up and do something immediately. We've got to stick up for the person's injured ego. We've got to apologize. This is another other ideas that we learned from Shkedim, which is practical ideas that Klal Yisrael have to learn, not just to see who was right, but how to make sure they don't fall into the trap in the first place. That is Tulimudim. Now there is a fascinating vort from Rosh Hashanah Kol Hish. Rosh Hashanah Kol Hish said, look in the parasha carefully. The pasuk says, "Vehine mochros veva Moshe oil ha'idus, vehine porach mate ar beis levi, vayoytse perach, vayoytse tzitz vayigmos shkedim." What happened first? Vayoytse perach. Not like the Rishonim, by the way. We'll see the Rishonim soon. Vayotze Perach. What's Vayotze Perach? It flowered. Vayotze Tzitz. The shoots came out. In other words, the leaves came out. Vayigmol Shkedim. And it gave over nuts. Says Rosh Hashanah Kol Hish, that is something extremely unusual with almonds. Every other tree, or almost every other tree, what happens is first you have the leaves, then you have the blossom, and then you have the fruit. By an almond, you have the blossom first, then you get the leaves that protects the blossom, and then you have the fruit. In other words, by an almond, the blossom comes before the leaves. Every other fruit, the leaves come before the blossom. Have a look. It's a fascinating thing. I haven't seen many almond trees, but have a look. You'll see this is something very, very unique with almonds. What's the idea? Says the Shamash Shafal Hish, this was a limud for Klal Yisrael. What was a limud for? To tell us like this. That why is Sheva Levi chosen? Why was Sheva Levi more special than anyone else? How dare we stand up and say Sheva Levi are not the chosen nation? You know why they're more special? Because these people are particularly aware of their obligation in this world. They flower straight away. When Moshe Rabbeinu asked Mila Shem Elai, who came to them, Kol Bnei Levi, they flowered. When everyone else was developing little leaves, and they were worrying about maybe in a couple of weeks' time they'll get the flower. They're out there. Their flowers developed. They're out there doing what had to be done. And therefore, Bnei Levi are unique. Like a shaked. What's shaked from? Shkida. The word shaked means shakade. It is a zoriz. It is before any other fruit. It gives out the blossom first. It fulfills its potential earlier than any other fruit. And therefore, Klal Yisrael has been told by Kodesh Baruch Hu that Bnei Levi was not a random nation, was not a random tribe that we are just fighting, that it just happened to be chosen, that we have a right to challenge. No. These are a nation who blossom, who fulfill their potential early. These people are quick to get going. And so that is why they deserve to be the tribe more than anyone else. This is why in this particular parasha, first the blossom, then the leaves, and then the fruit. What's the limit from that? The limit from that is, you can have the same tree, right next to the almond tree, looks exactly the same. It's got the same photosynthesis, has the same soil, has the same sunlight, has the same water, and what's happening? One tree gives out the blossoms first, or one tree gives out the leaves first, no blossoms at all. Trees are different. This is something unusual. Some trees blossom quicker than others. In other words, a person can have tinas. A person can actually be upset with his wife. I don't understand what takes you so long to wash up. What takes you so long to prepare for Shabbos? I can prepare for Shabbos in an hour. You take 4 hours to prepare for Shabbos, what's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? Why does it take you so long? The wife can have a complaint. Why does the husband get angry so quickly? What is she nervous about? Take your time, take it easy. They're different trees, Rabbi Sai. There's some trees that develop quicker. Some trees they're more energetic. They are more effective in getting the job done quicker. There are certain trees that are poshut more. What's the correct word? Get things done in a better way, in a quicker way. And more efficient. They're poshut more efficient. And therefore you're going to get angry with it. It's a different tree. Start yelling at your apple tree. Start yelling at apple tree. Why don't you have blossoms yet? The tree next year has blossoms. It's a different tree. What strikes does they feel? Why are you shouting so much? It's a different tree. Therefore, you've got to, when you have an argument, know there's different trees around. You can't yell. Men Yeah, men sometimes are from almonds. Yeah, women are from plums. They're different worlds. That's the kacha, that's the way it is. And that's, you can't have tainas. You can't have tainas. You've got to see stage by stage. You've got to see where it's coming from. People are different. People have different koichas. And that's, you cannot compare. It takes me 2 hours. Why take her 4 hours? Because she's a different tree. Don't ever fight. There's a Torah Dafka. It's being mudgish. Torah Dafka expresses a fact that we have an almond where the flowers came out first to show that certain times different people are different koichas. Don't expect everyone to be the same as you and have time to fiance. That's the Shamsun Fol Hish. Rav Moshe Feinstein explains it slightly differently. Rav Moshe says that why did a Kodesh Baruch Hu just not make it that you have just Shkedim? Why do you have to have the Perach and then the leaves and then the Shkedim? Now Kodesh Baruch Hu could have just given a final fruit. Just have Shkedim growing off this branch and that's it. Why do you have all the different stages? Says Rav Moshe, the biggest mistake Korach had was his taina of beged kuloi tcheles. If you have a beged that's made fully of blue wool, does it need tcheles tzitzis? To which the answer is, absolutely yes. So all started laughing. Ha ha ha, what's so funny? If already tcheles is supposed to remind you, one thread reminds you of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a beged that's kuloi tcheles certainly reminds you, why do you need it? A bayis is full of sifrei Torah, doesn't need a mezuzah. What's the mistake? What's the mistake? Why are they wrong? Why are they wrong? Why Taka D need it? Never thought of that? Why Taka are they wrong? The teretz is because sometimes it's, you need to go slowly. You can't jump straight into the picture. You can't have a beged kulot cheles is sometimes overpowering. You can't see the wood for the trees. You've got to take one thread. And from that one thread, you see and you work on it and you concentrate and you get more of a thread and you get more of a connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But sometimes if you work and you take a whole picture straight away, if you try and jump to levels of Ruchnius where you're not ready for it, Kolom Kolom Kadoshim, or ready for it, you have absolutely nothing. Moshe Rabbeinu said, you will be Kadosh, you have to work stage by stage, step by step. You can't take a beggar's Kulot Cheles and be potter from Tzitzis. You've got to take the thread and work on that thread. That was a tikkun of the matter. The matter is telling me, don't jump straight to the almonds. Don't think you can get to the fruit straight away. First, you got to work on the blossoms, and then you have the leaves, and then you have the fruit. You can't jump into something straight away. You can't immediately have the whole picture and expect to understand everything and jump into a new situation and know what's going on by poshut seeing the final picture. A person comes home and his house isn't ready. He had a difficult day, he had difficult clients, he had a difficult sugya in the Gemara, the Chavrus was not there, it's a hot day, and he comes back schwitzing, the bus took long, the bus, whatever it was, he comes back really miserable. He opens the front door, and there's nowhere even to put down his hat. Yeah, the house is absolutely flying. It's flying, right? Supper? Who even thinks about supper? Yeah, the kids are all over the place, there's socks all over inside the sink, and there's everything, there's stuff, there's no chair to sit down on. And his poor wife, she looks haggard and never, she's been working hard trying to bath the kids at the same time trying to make supper, and as it comes in the thing, all the food's all over, the oven is all bubbled over. So what does he do? He controls himself for 2 minutes and then he gives a shout. I come home, I expect to have a bit of derech eretz, I expect to have a bit of covers, I can't even sit down, I can't have a supper, and he yells, what does poor kid see? Poor kids see their mother's been looking after them so beautifully. Their mother's been working so hard. She's trying to make supper in time. She's trying to look after the kids. She's trying to balance cleaning and cooking and organizing and preparing all at the same time. And the father comes in and he starts shouting at the poor mother. Any musadrosh his father gives afterwards is going to go on deaf ears. You know, later on, if a child's yelling, why are you shouting? Ask nicely. Is that going to work? A person goes into a situation. A person jumps into a situation. A person sees something, what's going on, after, in the middle of a crisis. How can he possibly judge? The idea is, of a mater, is don't see the almonds. Look at the stages. Try and work a little bit deeper than just see the fruit. Don't just see the fruit. Look at the stages that went into the fruit. When you're about to argue with somebody, don't just see the fruit. Don't see the results. See the results behind, see why there is a result. Perhaps this person is very, very tired. Perhaps this person has a very difficult married life. Perhaps he has worries and paranoia. That is why he's acting the way he is. Maybe he's mentally unstable. Who knows? Rahman al-Islam, plenty of people like that. Don't judge a person by the fruit. See all the different stages beforehand and he will not go into an argument. Because usually, it's not personal. Usually there's a little bit of a background behind that. And that is the idea of, again, why they have all different stages over here? To show us. Don't enter argument by just seeing the fruit. Try and get all the different stages beforehand. Try and identify with them, and you'll be able to see that it's something a lot deeper than just this arm that comes out. But there's one... Yeah, so what do I want to say? What's the problem of this case? You jump to conclusions. If you just jump into it, you jump to conclusions. There's a halacha that if a person makes psia gasa, if a person makes big steps, what does he have to do? On Shabbos, he looks at the candles. What's the connection? So perhaps he wants, perhaps derech melitza. Perhaps the idea is, if the person jumps to conclusions, you've got to realize that that's going to affect his shalom bayis. If he makes big steps, and he jumps to conclusions, he doesn't take a small step to see how things happen, you should just realize that is a major, major contradiction to shalom bayis. And for once a week, look at the Shabbos candles, and realize there's an element here of shalom bayis. There's an element over here that I've made a mistake. Don't jump to conclusions, because otherwise it's going to conflict with the candles of shalom bayis. Candles represent shalom bayis. And therefore, that is at least once a week, understand that jumping to conclusions is going to conflict with shalom bayis. Concentrate on shalom bayis, you won't jump to conclusions. Could be. Okay? But there's one last word I want to say, and that is a Rashbam. The Daskeni Balatosis. Daskeni Balatosis says, so the way we learn it is that the last part of the pasuk is explaining the earlier part of the pasuk. In other words, Moshe Rabbeinu came in the day into the oil moed, and he saw that Aaron's stick was parach, it blossomed. Okay? How did it blossom? Explains the pasuk. Vayetzei parach, vayetzei tzitz, vigmosh shkedim. And all these different things happened. Yeah, that's how it blossomed. Says the Daz Kedim note, what happened was, there was two stages. He came to the oil moed and he saw Vayotze Perach. He saw there was a flower there. He took it out, and then, when he took it out, there were certain flowers on there. There were certain parts of the stick that then flowered, gave out leaves, and gave out shkedim. In other words, there are two parts to this. When he came to oil moed, there were just flowers. When he took it out, there's a whole new stage that began. What happened there was that it started to flower, and it gave out leaves, and it gave out shkedim. Two separate parts completely of the story. That is how the Daz Kedim Baal Tosfos learns as possible. Very nice. Lovely. Gvaldi gvalt, but what's it got to do with us? I want to say like this.
You mean, what is flowers down here? Flowers, leaves, and almonds come out up here.
Yes, there's flowers down here. Yeah. Okay. Now, what happened here, Rabbi Isai? What's the limud? What's the limud? Why is that necessary? The thought is like this. How does a fruit develop? How does a fruit develop? How does something become edible? How does edible fruit develop? Only by the blossom dropping off its leaves and allowing the fruit to develop around the bud. If you keep the flowers on the bud, the fruit does not develop. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling us another lesson of this particular matter. I want to tell you something, Rabbi Isai. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You want to stay a flower? You can stay a flower. But I'm just telling you, no fruit will ever come out of you. The only way you're going to have fruit is if you allow yourself for the flowers to drop off, to grow a viosif tzitz and for prayers to grow. The other people who want to stay a flower, nothing will ever grow from them. Some people want to be right. They want to be right. They want to look good. They want to stay a flower. And you know what? They'll stay a flower. Maybe they will look good. But nothing will come from them. Only the other side of that very stick that flowered allowed itself to develop and allow the flowers to drop off. Look ugly for a while, those particular flowers actually gave fruit. If you step down and you say, I'm sorry, I apologize, and people look as if, you know, see, he's a loser. Those people who are willing to have the anava and the courage to look foolish for a while, from those people who are willing not to step up to what they deserve, not to do necessarily what they feel is coming to them, these people are going to produce fruit. So amazing a story. There's a story of there's an Indian, there's a very, very big Indian on Mafta Yaina. Mafta Yaina is an Indian for people to buy, and it's Indian to have children. People don't have children who are childless, they buy Mafta Yaina. It's a scholar to have children. Mafta Yaina is on Yom Kippur. The Maftir, Maftir Mincha, Maftir Yaina. There's one man who's very, very upset. He's broken, and for many, many years his wife were married, never had children. So he said, this year's going to buy it. Didn't have much money. And he comes to shul, and this year he decides he's going to buy it, and he starts bidding. And as he starts bidding, something else outbids him. And he sees the other person. This person kind of has got children, but he likes covered. He wants to have Mafta Yaina. And he starts bidding high, the other person outbids him. He bids even higher, the other person outbids him. Eventually, he can't anymore. You know, how high can he go? But he thought, nope, I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep going, and whatever it takes, I'm going to have this child. He starts bidding higher and higher, and the other person getting upset already. This person had Mafta Yaina a few years already, he's getting upset. Now, what's the person bidding against me? I've got money, but he's taking advantage already. So he decides, you know what? I'm going to be Mavata. I'll let him have his Mafta Yaina. I'm not letting him have Mafta Yaina. So he stopped bidding, other person bought Mafta Yaina. He's a big knack, he got called up. Other person there, because he's a bit of a schnorrer, you know, he only stopped at $500. Other person bought it for $800. You know, Nebuch. And it really upset him that the Maisi never got his Mafta Yaina. A few months later, 9-10 months later, he had a baby. And the Rav came up to him, the Rav said to him, you should just know that Mafta Yaina is perhaps a skula. But I promise you, Vitor, to be mevatted to somebody else, to let the other person win, to step down from an argument, to step down from conflict, is the biggest skula in the world. That is why you had that child. You can be a flower, and you can keep going, looking good, and winning. Fantastic, win. As far as you're concerned, win. Look good, be a flower. And get loads of things buzzing and buzzing and buzzing around you. But for it to become edible, for fruit to grow from it, you've got to allow the flowers to drop off. And for only from those flowers that dropped off on the same stick, we saw what happened. On one side, flowers stayed and nothing grew. On the other side, flowers dropped off and fruits grew. That is a limudin from the Shkedim. So from this parasha, it wasn't just a fact that we're trying to prove that Aaron was. That had already been proven. We've proven Sefer Levi have won. We've proven Aaron was correct. We've proven Moshe Rabbeinu was not into it for his own personal well-being. That we've all proven. But how do we actually grow from this? Number one, appreciate Machlekes. Machlekes is sweet at the beginning, it turns bitter at the end. Shalom is bitter at the beginning, it turns sweet at the end. A shockade. Another halacha is, of Shkedim, is a fact that sometimes you've got to go in and fight. Fight for the emes. Fight for shalom. When? The next day. Let it roll. Let it wait, because the next day you may feel that it's not so important anymore. On the other hand, when it turns more bitter, sometimes you can't let it wait, because otherwise it's looking maske. It's going to actually become inedible. It's never going to be right, the second thing. The third idea is the idea of Shamshon Fal Hish, that there's an idea over here of people are different. There's an almond tree, and there's a plum tree. And you can yell at the plum tree, why not blossoming first? Because a plum tree can't, the almond can. And therefore, before you get into an argument, don't have unrealistic expectations. Don't expect a person to do something and be upset with him if you can't, because it's just posh it. Different. That's the third reason. That's the third idea of why the almond. The fourth idea is the idea of Rav Moshe, is that there was a stage by stage. Because Shmuel Hanshom, all the stages. Before you enter an argument, don't just see the fruit at the end. See all the stages that went into the fruit. See why a person's behaving in a particular way, and you may understand there's a lot more going on behind the scenes. It's not being personal. The person is poshut, going through a difficult time, is letting it out on you. Don't necessarily get offended. Don't necessarily attack him back. Let it roll. It's not you. The person's upset about something else. Let it roll. And that is another idea of the shockade. And the fifth idea is appreciation and understanding that sometimes to let the flower go, to allow yourself to back down from machlekes, not look so good with regard to the world, look a little bit weak because you back down, you are the ones who are going to have the fruit growing from you. You're going to have the vitter, you're going to be zeichet of real fruit. Those people are always right and never allow themselves to allow themselves the flowers to drop off. These people, Rachman al-Litzan, have lots of buzzing things around them, but nothing, the maisa comes from them. The famous story of Yasha's mother, they used to wash the laundry outside in wherever it was, in one of the chatzeros in Yerushalayim, and it didn't have washing machines and drying machines. They had to take it, you have to warm up water and over the fire and then rub it and clean it. And this woman, Nebuch, didn't have any children above, and she saw, she was a little bit jealous of Rabbi Yasha's mother. And she went and she cut both sides of the clothesline, and the beautiful, clean, crispy white tablecloth fell down, or sheets, whatever it was, fell down in the filth, in the mud, and it got all dirty again. And Rabbi Yasha's mother took these things and Poshet took them in the house, didn't say a word. A few months later, she had a child called Rabbi Yasha. That comes from Vittor. That comes from Vittor. Allow the flowers to drop off. Don't say anything. You should have told her, how dare she. You're right, maybe she was absolutely wrong. But you want fruit to grow. A person who allows things just to pass and doesn't respond, doesn't react, 100 illnesses will pass him by. He'll be successful. Tuvei de shama v'odish, Gemara says in Nida. Tuvei de shama v'odish, good for the person who's shama, who hears, v'odish, and is adish, doesn't respond. Cholfuhu bishti meo, will pass him 100 illnesses. Don't react. Road rage, you know, people with road rage. And, you know, and he reacts and this, and it end up, they're killing each other. Don't react, let it pass. That is limudim. Of course Aaron was right, of course Moshe was right, of course, but these were the limudim, tachlis, practically. How do I deal with this? These are five limudim, at least, we can take from this particular parasha of the Matos that will help us. Just want to finish off. Why on earth did it take them back? Why did it take them back? I'm sorry to run a little bit late here. Why did it take them back? So I said this last year. It's a Zayin Matoya from Sorotskin. The idea is why it took them back is like this. Listen to this, Rabbi Yisai, very, very powerful lesson. Klal Yisrael about to go into Eretz Yisrael. And they're going to have wealth. They're going to have fields. They're going to have their own orchards. They're going to have their own houses. Everything's going to be going for them. And you know what's going to happen? A little boy is going to come to his daddy and say, Daddy, why do we have to be the balabatim? Why are we the ones working in the offices? Why are we the ones never who have to make the money? Why can't we be like those Bnei Torah over there? Why can't we be like those people who don't have any money, who are living off Trumas and Maestras? Why can't we be like them, but at least they're sitting and learning Torah the whole day? These people are getting the Olam Haba, working on Ruchnias all day long. Why can't we be like them? It's not fair. So what, we've got big houses? So what, we've got big orchards? But why are we the Nebuchs? Why are we the ones who have to, Nebuch, be Oisik and Parnassa? What about these Tamid Chacham? I'm afraid to have nothing. I'm afraid to have no houses and no orchards and live as poshut people that are chelik in Eretz Yisrael, live off Trumas Maaseh, but we're sitting and learning. It's not fair, Daddy, why are you doing this? So the father says, no, why? I'll tell you why. Come with me to the Nossi. You go to Nossi's house, and sitting in the Nossi's silver cabinet is a stick. And the son says, you know what this stick is? We try to be Shevet Levi. We try to be the ones who had nothing in Gashmias, everything in Ruchnias. But you know what? Hashem said, I don't want you to be. I want you to be the ones who are sitting and working and supporting the Bnei Torah. You're right. You know, not always very comfortable. Nebuch, we've got to be the wealthy ones. And we're not fortunate enough to be the poor Bnei Torah, but we try to be. And if it don't come with me with tainas later on, that why were we the ones? Why didn't we fight for it? We tried to fight for it. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, no, I want you to support the Bnei Torah, and I want the Bnei Torah to be supported by you. It's not always wrong to fight. Sometimes it's absolutely the perfect thing to fight. Each one took back their matter to show that we fought for the right cause. We fought to be a Shevet Levi. We fought to be a tribe that has absolutely nothing begashmias and is willing to be moisen nefesh ruchnias, because we know that's a real life. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, no, I'll pray if you work. I want you to support Klal Yisrael. Those are people with real standards. And for real standards, you can fight and you can be proud of your fight. That is this parasha of Matthias. Matthias has had to have a real good fight. And to make sure that you learn from the limudim of an almond and chas v'shalom not end up being a complete nutter.